I perceive that we have a very intelligent caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take this phone call. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Doctor. And how about yourself, sir?
I'm great, thanks.
Now, you flatter me by calling me intelligent. I'm not the brightest bulb in the room, but I do have some questions for you. I figured you might shine a little light on this issue that I've got.
How dare you argue with me? If I say you're highly intelligent, you're highly intelligent.
Well, I learned a long time ago that if I take the doctor's word for everything, it tends to foul me up just as much as the illness did.
I'm not that type of doctor, though.
I know anyway. You're not, and I appreciate that. First off, I'm going to try to be pretty brief here. I know
sure.
You got a bunch of other stuff to take care of here, but first off, let me thank you. It's been over 30 years since I've been on any kind of supplements.
Really?
And I've been listening to you for about the past, better part of a year here. And let's see, you got me on about 9 of them now. Everything from magnesium for the oxygen to the heart, to the zinc to the eyes, to the hawthorn berries for the heart. That's just, I really appreciate that. It's really helped a lot.
You're welcome. I appreciate you. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Now, my first question to you, sir, is the gallbladder stuff that you tend to key in on quite a bit. You don't talk about how often that the beets need to be consumed.
It depends on the situation. If somebody's in the middle of a severe gallbladder attack and a crisis, what you want to do is you want to give the gallbladder a rest from processing all the junk food and just give it a break. And sometimes taking a beet with a little bit of lemon juice and some apple juice, what you're doing is you're trying to dissolve all the bile. And I hope I'm not crude, but when somebody starts doing this, if they call me on the phone and say, Dr. Morgan, I've got the most yellow or green diarrhea of all time coming out of me, and I'm going, bingo, we're cleaning all that old congealed and gunky, junky bile out of the gallbladder, which is a good thing. But
okay,
for severe situations, you do it more frequently. But
what are you talking, daily, two or three times a week, you think?
Well, I mean, are you doubled over in pain right now? Because you're in pain?
No.
If you will, just be more specific. I'm not trying to say everybody needs to have 100% gallbladder flush mentality 100% of the time. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But if somebody calls me on the phone, they say, hey, I'm doubled over in pain. This pain is so great I can't live. I've got a bad gallbladder attack. That's when we want to start instituting these principles of trying to give the gallbladder a break. But that's not the way that you live every day. If you feel like $1 million, you just eat your T-bone steak for lunch and asparagus, and we'll call it good.
That's good. You know, I don't think I'd ever had a beet in my life. Maybe when I was a kid, some of the red stuff my mom might have served the family. But I went out and bought a couple beets last week based on what I've been hearing from you.
Well, it's not going to hurt you to do that. You know, I'm personal friends with a beet farmer.
Yes, sir.
His name is Dwight Schrute. But anyway, go ahead.
That's funny. I actually enjoyed it. I took a beet and peeled it off, coated it in olive oil, salt, pepper, crushed pepper, and baked it for about 45 minutes. And, man, I'm telling you what, I was really surprised. It was good. It
tasted. You mean you were pleasantly surprised?
Me pleasantly surprised is a good way to put that. It sure is. It kind of had the texture and taste of an artichoke heart, and
that's not too bad.
A plate full of salmon and a side salad on it. It was good. So I was thinking maybe twice a week I'll do a lot with gallbladder.
And it would. I think that's a great plan. I love it.
Okay, now how about pickled beets?
Perfect.
Okay, they've got as much healthy
plenty good properties in them. Just like if you took a cucumber and you pickled it and made a pickle out of it, that'd be great too.
Okay, all right, let me jump over to number two here real quick. In 2014 on January 9th I broke my hip, and the day after I came out of surgery, the second rib on the right hand side from the bottom has been dead.
That's called number 11.
Yeah, I guess. you tell me, but it's just been dead, and I'm wondering if it's possible I might have broken the rib when I fell, but here we are, almost no, 4 years later.
When you say dead, you mean it's numb?
Numb big time, yes.
I wonder if that, when they gave you, because they put you under during surgery to repair the hip, didn't they?
Yeah, of course.
You notice I resisted the greatest temptation of all time, because what my first question was, I'm going, how did you break your hip? But I never asked that question.
No, I noticed that was thank you very much.
So, yeah, if you say thanks, that means I'm not going to pursue it any further. But if you have numbness in that area, it's always possible they gave you an epidural or some kind.
Okay.
And they may have gone up one level too high, and they may have just damaged that nerve that serves the 11th thoracic nerve. I mean, the 11th rib.
Okay, all right. Hmm. Well, that was
well,
kind
there,
of my
there's question. One there's one old technique, and of course, you can't see your back. Do you have anybody that could look at it with a magnifying glass?
Possibly.
Well, I mean, if you don't mind pulling your shirt up in the back a little bit, I mean, have somebody take a magnifying glass and flashlight. See if they can find a needle mark where there's still some redness or maybe just a touch of purple surrounding it.
Even it, 4 years later, you think it would still be there?
Dude, I see these things all the time.
Okay.
I don't even know if you can shock me anymore by the things I see and by... I mean, I'm sure you could, but I've heard so much of it, I'm just thinking, not again. But what I'm saying is, even after 4 years, you look on the back and you see if there looks like a puncture or a needle where it entered, but it might still be a little bit purple or red. And anytime, and the same would be true for a scar. If you have a scar where there's purple in it, that means it hasn't resolved, it hadn't healed. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll do clay pack therapy. It's just calcium bentonite clay. It's just like me in my childhood. After it rains, you go out and sit there on the grass. You start digging up clay, and you start, you know, making things. You know, I am the potter. You are the clay. I kind of stole that from Scripture. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, I am not the but
I understand.
But you make a clay pack. I like that product called Indian Healing Clay. And I can tell you this, you got nothing to lose by taking and rubbing mud on that area of your back where you have numbness or a dead rib.
Mm. Okay.
And just do it every day and see if the feeling starts to come back.
You know,
I'm my own guinea pig. I could tell you a story right now about me, how I couldn't get the numbness to leave my hand. That's the only thing that took care of it, is mud.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I might have to give that some serious thought right there.
Well, you don't have to give it serious thought. You just need to have five bucks
to
buy the clay. Yeah, just do it.
Yeah,
well,
it's either that. Yeah.
If you, the other thing is, if you go to a, I had a lady walk in my door yesterday evening. I hope she's not listening because I don't want to embarrass her, and I don't think that I will. But she says, "Well, I won't tell you what she was doing at the time, but she was doing something with an arm, not her arm." And it caused severe pain in her chest. And so she's got this rib that's, quote, popped out of place. And it hurts to take a deep breath of air in. And, you know, this woman's tough. I mean, she's like a Viking warrior princess.
Okay.
Or, according to her husband, she's like an Indian warrior squaw. Wait, I may have mispronounced that. But anyway,
okay,
she's
I got
just
it.
Very, very tough. But when she came in the office, I fell to that rib. I said, oh, my goodness, this is horrible. And so I had to... push the rib back in place. I'm not saying she really enjoyed that, but I did, because I knew I did good, high-quality work. And then there was a vertebra that was out of place, and so when I put that back in place, then all of a sudden all the pain and the weird sensation in the rib went away totally. So anyway, if you've got numbness, why don't you go to a chiropractor or go to somebody that knows what they're doing? Let them see if maybe there's a nerve, a sensory nerve that's impinged or pinched. And you know what it could be? It could be that you've got a muscle that's just choking that nerve to death. And if somebody could just take their thumb and press on that muscle and release it, you might go, oh, is that what it's like to have normal feeling in the rib? It could be as simple as that.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, the only issue is you got to go to somebody that's got some skill. I mean,
yeah, I know that for a fact.
I mean,
you're in Jacksonville.
Oh, no, I never said I knew what I was doing.
I
make up probably 95% of the things I say just hoping I can trick somebody.
you're a real character. I really enjoy
it. I don't even have a clue what's going on today. I just showed up.
Oh, that's good. That really is. Hey, that's some food for thought right there. I'm going to have to look at that. The clay, I might take you up on that. I'm familiar with bentonite clays, and see what we can maybe do that. But but you're right. A little bit of skill helps. I've always been the type that avoided doctors as much as possible. You know, it's just...
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 64.
64. Do you feel like you're in relatively good health?
I am in pretty good shape.
Your voice sounds strong. I like that.
Well, thank you very much. I should get you to write that down and sign it. I'll frame it sometime, you know, that put it on the wall.
But, Dr. Morgan says you have a nice voice.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll stop right there. I do thank you for that call.
Oh, you betcha.
Sir, I'm going to let you go on with your day. I thank you for everything.
Hey, thanks for your phone call. I appreciate you. I enjoyed it very much, and I wish you the very best. Let me know what happens, okay?
I'll come back to you. Thanks, Doc.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I think two things happened to me this week that I want to discuss with you just briefly. One of them was a comment from a woman that's in kidney failure. And she's going to a kidney specialist. And you understand as well as I do, when you have kidney failure, there is a doctor who is a specialist. And the expertise is all revolving around the health of a kidney. And she's in stage 4 kidney failure, and she's just got a smidgen left to go before her kidneys are doomed. And the advice of her kidney expert is, let's just wait till your kidneys fail, and we'll just do dialysis. And I thought to myself, oh, my word. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I called you couple of weeks ago about what I'm pretty sure now, after we talked about the Katharine Hepburn, that I have essential tremors, but I've been doing all the goodies you told me about, and it seems to be helping pretty good.
Are you serious? I had no idea my plan would actually work. This is amazing.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
You know what I can hear in the background? You've got birds in the background.
Yes, I do. I'm out in the middle of the woods.
Well, I was just fixing to ask you, are you inside or are you outside right now?
Oh, I'm outside.
What kind of birds are
you? Well, roughly guessing, since I can't see it, it's either a mockingbird, probably a mockingbird, or a wren.
Well, see, I was going to guess like a little wren that's like flitting about looking for something to nibble on.
Probably.
I just think those are the prettiest little birds of all time.
Yes, they are.
Very entertaining when they have their young out.
A very quick story. I think they're one of the fastest nest builders in the world.
One time
I parked at my mom's house, and I had a van that didn't have a radio in it, so I had a little concave party. I'm serious. I had the windows down. I was there at her house. By the time I got back later that day, they had almost half a nest built inside my radio in my van.
See, that's God's plan for keeping you from listening to that evil 8-track music called rock and roll. If a bird fills up the 8-track tape deck first.
I was just shocked at how fast they... Like,
are you kidding
me?
You could blink and turn around and there's like a nest the size of a bale of hay in there.
Oh, they're fast. And anywhere and everywhere, they are definitely one of God's go out and multiply.
You know what? I have never seen a wren use marijuana leaves to build a nest. Have you? Sorry.
Oh, nah.
No. That's just great. I love wrens. They're just fabulous.
Oh, yes. They're cool. Well, the reason I'm calling you today, and I apologize, I don't have that much information. They didn't know I was going to call. But I have two wonderful people at our church, that one lady 4 years that I know of ringing in the ears, and a gentleman that from Vietnam, he has
PTSD?
Thank you.
Post-traumatic.
And
I thought for a second there, I thought you were going to say PTSD, post-traumatic court disorder, but you mean stress disorder, right?
Okay. Yes. He has a little bit of everything. He just come to know the Lord. My mom.
You talk about a wonderful story.
Oh, yes. There's a lot to it. And he's got a way of coming, his language and this and that, but he has a heart as big as Texas. And the lady, and they really are plagued with ringing in the ears. So I thought, okay, I will call and see what you suggest, and I will tell them.
Okay, number one, this is just me being real simple because, you know, I can't answer every question perfectly. There is a homeopathic remedy that you can go buy at Walmart or CVS, and it's a homeopathic remedy, and it all revolves around trying to resolve the ringing in the ears. So,
okay.
May not sound like a super fabulous, you know,
gift
to you, but at least if you try it, because it's been my experience, it works half the time. And as cheap as it is,
what all they have done.
Well,
she might have done that, or I don't know. But
There are so many drugs out there that the side effect is ringing in the ear. So, if I said drugs like Aleve and Tylenol and ibuprofen,
no.
What do you mean?
No, I'd rather want something that God made, not man-made.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, if you take ibuprofen or you take Aleve, they will cause ringing in the ear.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I didn't say that very well. That's on me. If I was as smart as the Wren, I would have got that really clear today. Actually,
you're doing fine. You've been wonderful and blessed.
Can you hang on a second? I'm trying to build a nest in the speaker over here to the right of me because it looks like about the size of an 8-track Slyworth radio studio.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing that I want you to consider, there is a mineral that is found in nature, and when you look at the USDA reports or the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the amount of magnesium that's in the soil, oh, goodness, it's just about gone. So it's not uncommon for a magnesium deficiency to either directly cause ringing in the ear or, B, greatly contribute to it. I'm not trying to make it 100% panacea, but if somebody's deficient in magnesium, they can easily have ringing in the ear. The other thing that I would look at is we've just got to increase the blood flow to the ear. And there's several ways to do that. Now, I'm a fan of what are called beeswax ear candles. If I was super sophisticated, I would go around to each tree and I would lick up all the resin that comes off the leaves and the bark. And I would take it and I'd make a home out of it, and I'd call it a honeycomb home, but I'm not that smart. But the bees aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And so a beeswax ear candle, it's going to be like a negatively charged ionic chimney that when you light it up, it's going to start pulling debris out of the ear canal and even those, crystallized debris. I think some people, they have a problem processing what's called calcium oxalate or oxalic acid. And these oxalate crystals, they'll start building up in the ear, and so the ear bones just don't vibrate, like they're supposed to. And so they get all this crusty, what a stalactite or a stalagmite hanging from a cave looks like?
Yes, I love rocks.
Oh, are you kidding? I like you more and more with each other. I love rocks. I could be walking through the park lot, and if I see a rock, I go, oh, how cool is that? It's mine. I'm going to pick it up.
Yes, My late husband, he said, the only thing I hate whenever we move is moving your rock collection.
Don't you think that was a little bit negative on his part?
No, it was quite heavy. I don't blame him.
Well,
there was a lot of them.
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to need your GPS coordinates. That way I can come get the rocks in case anything happens to you.
No.
Just give me a clue. Do you live in the state of Texas?
Yes.
All right, that narrows it down. At least I know where to look now. But sometimes you'll get crystallized debris in the form of calcium deposits. It's called calcium oxalate. And in some people, this is the whole deal with their severe arthritis or their bladder pain called interstitial cystitis. It's just nearly 100% of all kidney stones. I think it plays a role with gallstones. And have you ever seen somebody when they hold their hand out to shake your hand in a very kind, generous, thoughtful way, that their fingers are slightly twisted and bent toward the ends of them, and they got these bumps near their knuckles?
My grandfather, my mom used to massage it. His hands were so twisted, they would go off to the side. Yes, it runs
but,
in
but how strong
our
was
family.
He?
Oh, he was very strong.
I mean, he could crush my hand, couldn't he?
Oh, yes.
Man, I hate to admit this. I really do. But, it says confess your sins one to another. But this week, a young man came into my office as a salesman, and I was having just a really difficult moment, and he reached out to grab my hand, and before I realized what I did, I squeezed his hand so hard that I heard all the bones in his hand crackle and snap and pop. I thought, Roy, why are you squeezing his hand that hard?
Oh, my.
But I kind of overdid it just a little bit, and I felt bad about it. And, of course, I think he shed a tear, and I apologized. No, he didn't. But I remember this one guy at church named Lloyd. He had severe arthritis, but he could literally crush my hand. He was so strong, even though he had deranged joints.
I tell you what I do. There's a few gentlemen that I love them to death, but they don't know how to shake hands with a lady. And I've learned the ones that'll crush, you know, that shake like I'm a man, and I stick out my index finger and let them shake it.
Well, what I want you to do from now on is I want you to hand your fingers, your hand to them, palm down, and that way they have to grab your hand and they have to curtsy and bend over and kiss it. That's like in the movies.
I don't think so.
No, and they wouldn't crush your hand that way. I think that's a good plan.
Okay.
Well, I mean, a true man would do that. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, they just don't.
I think
they don't think about it that they're shaking too hard.
No, they don't. There's this one guy. What's his name? Anyway, the dude can crush my hand without. Mm. And, you know, I've had several I've lost every one of them. Anyway, the ringing in the ears. Consider magnesium. Go to the health food store and look up a homeopathic remedy for ringing in the ears, and take a look into ear candles to clean all that junk and debris out of the ear canals and the bones.
Okay.
And then look up calcium oxalate and see if I'm correct.
Oh, I'm sure you are, and yes, I will.
All right, good deal. Yay.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
God bless
you. Thanks for your phone call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There's a number here at the station, 903-586-5257. The phone line's open. The other story this week that, well, I'll tell you that in a little bit. There's a phone call. That's much more important. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I would like to know if there is anything that can be done for a person who is very overweight from the use of the,
You're all right.
From prednisone.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, I understand what you're saying now.
My son has taken that for years. Some doctor down in Cleveland, Texas, gave it to him for his back pain.
I really don't think it matters at this point whether it was Cleveland, Texas, or anywhere in Texas, because they just about all give out prednisone for it, don't they?
Yes.
So, is he still taking prednisone?
I think he is. He tries to tell me he's not, but I don't quite believe him.
Well, let me tell you what I would just consider. This is only an idea.
Okay.
There is an element that is found in nature that's called sulfur.
Yes.
And I was reading in a Bible commentary about maybe 11 months ago, but outside of the city of Jerusalem, they had, I guess, this city dump called Gehenna.
Yeah.
And if you were, like, rich and wealthy, well, yeah, they could bury you literally in a cave, and they could put your bones in this box called an ossuary. And, you know, mm-hmm. But that was just for rich people. But
yeah.
But if you were poor, you had no such, you know, funeral. What they would do is they'd take the body outside of the city dump at Gehenna, and they'd cover it with sulfur and set it on fire.
Ooh.
Well, I know it doesn't sound great, but I have a point here. I'm not sure where my point is yet, but I'll eventually wander back to it. But sulfur is an element that's found in nature that's very, very good for purifying the body. And so I'm not saying I understand all this, but, you know, hellfire and brimstone came down on Sodom and Gomorrah and just burned it to a crisp. At least yes. I believe that.
Yes, I do too.
Well, you and I are cut from the same cloth then. But
you've
got to have sulfur in the body if you want your muscles and your ligaments and your tendons and your cartilage. Did I already mention cartilage? If you want all these joints and structures that are prone to becoming inflamed, if you want them to feel better, you got to have sulfur. Personally, okay. I think when someone's on prednisone, that causes what I'd call a severe sulfur deficiency. And so I read an article on the radio maybe, I'm going to say 6 weeks ago. I lose track of time. Please forgive me for that. I don't remember from one, I may have talked about it last week, but I think it was 6 weeks ago. But I talked about the use of a man with a severe bulging disc in his lower back, how he completely cured it by consuming what's called glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate. And there's another form of sulfur called MSM, which is short, the acronym for methyl sulfonyl methane. It's just an organic form of sulfur. And you can't tell me the stuff doesn't work, because I have used every human being that walks in my door as my own personal guinea pig. Now, when people walk in my door, they don't know that that's my plot, is to experiment on them. Uh-oh.
Now, I don't believe that.
Uh-oh, I think I just revealed my secret. Now everybody knows. Okay, so much for that top secret plan. That's out the window. But when you, and here's the deal, when you're on prednisone, that stuff is wicked. It makes you crave food like there's no tomorrow. It causes your blood sugar to shoot up and your cortisol and adrenaline and insulin, and you just can't help it. You just start packing on the weight. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But the way out of that is if we could get him on sulfur. That's one of the reasons why when you eat grass-fed beef, it's a rich source of sulfur. And when you eat eggs, they got, I don't care what any experts telling me right now about how evil eggs and beef are, I ain't buying it. I am not buying that at all. And so if he eats eggs, the deal is, though, the only way, see, he's got a sulfur deficiency probably, but the only way he's going to reverse that is if he comes off sugar. So have you ever heard of the Atkins diet before, where people eat meat?
Yeah.
I can just about guarantee him, if he started reading about the Atkins diet or a carnivore diet, he would become completely transformed. He would reach his full God-given potential with the time he has left. Now, he's not an old, boring dude like I am, is he?
No, he's, I don't know how old you are, but he's 49, fixing to be 50.
Okay, well, he has to look up to me with tremendous respect, because I am his elder.
Oh, okay.
And I am old and boring. Remember that, okay?
Okay.
And so if I can do it, he can do it. And so I want him to become pain-free. And so he's going to have to dig himself out of this deep hole that he's in, because his body is just swimming with inflammation. But if he could find it, you know how the Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 10, I think it's maybe 17 or somewhere around there, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God?
Yes.
I know myself well. Sometimes I hear thoughts that I've never heard before, and I go, that's exactly, I never heard that before. That's what I need to focus on. How come nobody told me that before? And so if he starts getting on the internet and reading about how to lose weight and how to get a hold of these hormones, maybe for a short season he'll just try eating meat only for a week. You know what it'll do? It's going to force him to drink a whole bunch more water than what he's drinking right now. What do you think that's going to do? It's going to start washing his body clean from the inside out.
Okay.
And my ultimate plot, I am very devious and diabolical with people. I never tell them my true intentions, and so I try to trick them into getting well. And that way, after they feel good, I know I've got them. I've got them wrapped around my little finger, because when they feel good, they get up and they start walking and exercising and they start participating in life and they go and they do and they work on their projects. Actually, it's not a trick at all. It's just if they feel good, they do what normal people do, because when you feel good, you want to make the bed and you want to clean the car and you want to repair the trim on the house that's rotten or mow the grass. But when you don't feel good, what do? You think,
you just want to lay around.
Yeah, you think, okay, I'm almost 50 years old, and I've got, like, zero strength to get up and work on the house or polish my shoes or whatever it is. And so energy is the key to everything. If nobody hears anything that I'm saying today, did you hear me just pound my fist on the...
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to do it one more time. I'm in the control room. If nobody else hears me today, you've got to have energy. And so if we can find a way to train his body to produce energy, then we've got a home run and we've got a win. And so if I quote the woman from earlier this week where I said, what is your kidney doctor's plan for you? She said, his plan is to let my kidneys die and fail. And it ain't no big deal because we can go straight into dialysis. I'm going, it's a big deal for me. It's a big deal for you. Who wants to go sit in a chair for, you know, 4 to 6 hours, two or three times a week if you don't have to? Why don't we talk about healing and rejuvenation and repair and energy? But your son's got to have energy, so he's going to have some magnesium. He's going to have some vitamin K2. He's going to have a little bit of vitamin C, and he's going to have some vitamin D3. But he's going to go on a no-carbohydrate diet for a little while.
Okay.
I know that to be a fact because I've seen it work over and over. That really wasn't good English. I've seen it work. All right, were you an English teacher and a speech pathologist?
Oh, no, no, no.
See, I have many English teachers that come to see me and speech pathologists, and I think they are going to cringe when But in my heart, I want to help, so maybe that covers a multitude of sins, right?
Right. Well, I had just, you know, I just about had a fit when he told me what he was taking, because way back, my other son, who died at 7 months.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Goodness.
Well.
I'm so sorry.
Well, thank you. Well, his brain hemorrhaged at birth. And in order to stop his seizures, they gave him the prednisone.
Oh, no.
And they told me, you know, if he lived, that, you know, his body, the trunk of his body, would become huge and his legs would remain small, and that there was no reversing it. And so, you know, here 49 years later, my other son tells me he's taking it, and, you know, I'd like to go down there and pound that doctor in the head over, you know, because he's taken it for so many years.
Well, I vote we bypass the doctor and we just move straight in for the kill with your son. When I say move in for the kill, if we can, all he needs right now is he needs to hear the truth. And if he hears it over and over, yesterday I was kind of laughing to myself with a patient, and I kept telling her what to do, and after about the seventh time I told her the same thing, she said, I think what you're saying is you want me to do this. I'm going, okay. You finally have gotten what now you hear what I'm saying. But if we can just keep hammering away at your son in a gentle, loving way, you know what? I'm certain that I would love your son. And I'm convinced he is an amazing man, right?
Yes.
What's his first name?
First name is Quinn.
You got to be kidding me. He sounds like an Irish renegade that doesn't take anything off anybody. Is that true? Is he Irish?
No.
His last name is O'Malley, right?
No, I'm sorry about that.
You don't have to lie to me, ma'am. I can tell his last name is O'Malley.
No.
Man, Quinn sounds cool.
You know, it just breaks my heart to see him in the shape he's in.
Well, let's get him out of these straits.
Yeah.
It's going to take, you know what? If he gave me, he didn't have to give me anything. If I had 21 days to establish a new habit, and you know what? There's going to be blood, not mine, hopefully, sweat and tears, and there's going to be pain and suffering. But that's what defines a human being. Everybody suffers. I just read Psalm 34. Guess what it said? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivereth them from them all.
Yes.
And that only makes sense to anybody, unless if you've been afflicted, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
But he's being afflicted right now. And guess what? The Calvary ain't coming. The medical doctor in Cleveland is not going to come and say, you know, Quinn, I think I got all this wrong. I put you on steroids. You blew up by 80 pounds. It's wrecked your body. Now you're like a hormonal wreck. Forgive me. I was wrong. Let me make it right. This is how you do it. That ain't going to happen. The Calvary's not going to come to Quinn's aid.
Right.
And so Quinn's going to have to use the wits that God give him, and he's going to have to educate himself. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give several recommendations, all right?
Okay.
Look up a book called Carnivore Diet.
Okay.
You can get a short copy of it. You don't even have to do that. You know how easy it is today? It's pitifully easy. You get on the internet and you type in YouTube.
Yes.
And then you get on that little bitty magnifying glass of search and click on that and type in carnivore diet.
Okay.
If we can start getting rid of all the inflammation, we've got to recondition his body. We've got to rebuild it. We've got to rejuvenate it. He once had energy.
Yes.
At one time, he was a beautiful baby boy, right?
He was.
He never talked back to his mama?
Not too many times.
I knew that was coming.
Me and mama.
Yeah, but you know what? You're his mama, and he loves you.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, you know what? You already know about my mom, don't you?
No, I hadn't heard you talk about her.
Oh, she's awesome. Awesome mom. When I was a boy growing up, she used to take me to the city dump. We used to dig around the trash, and I had the best time of any human being of all time. We got to find goodies. We went to garage sales every weekend. When it was time to, you know, get out of school, she'd ride her bicycle sometimes and come pick me up, or I'd walk to school. We had fun. My mom was cool. We'd go walking through the woods, and she'd climb over a barbed wire fence, rip her pants right down the middle. We'd laugh about it and go on. One time she came to school and she had polka dotted underwear because her pants ripped and she didn't know it. But then again, I mean, I tore my pants one day years ago and I had to walk through Walmart with a big rip down the backside just to find. Well, I mean, where else am I going to go to get a pair of pants? But anyway, my mom was cool. She was willing to do anything with me. I always had her blessing. But she just died recently because she got run over by a logging truck. But today's the 13th. In 11 days, she would have been 91 years of age. But, ma'am, I promise you, she would have easily made it to 100 years of age. She was strong. She walked down to the spring every day with two jugs, empty jugs, and she would carry back her spring water that she loved. And the people that had the spring, they were so sweet to her. Yeah, they had a fence up with a lock and a chain on it, but they gave her the key. And so she could go down there, and one day she said, "Roy, there was a big snake in the path." I said, "What'd you do?" She said, "I went and picked up a concrete haydot block and crushed it." I'm going, okay, great. That's just lovely. And what happened yesterday? She said, "Well, a big boar hog ran in front of me and came close." I said, "Okay, nobody. Yeah, evidently, you know, God's protecting you, Mom. This is good." And then I drive up to the house, and she's on top of the roof sweeping off pine needles. I'm going, "Oh, by the grace of God, what is she doing up on top of the roof?" It was one of those wooden ladders, too, the kind that you think is going to snap because it's like 85 years old.
Oh, dear.
But we need to turn Quinn's life around and make him the strong man that he's supposed to be. And the time is ticking. You don't have to be. If you don't believe this, you got to read Psalm 90. It says, "Teach us to number our days." So what are we going to do with the rest of Quinn's life? We've got to turn all this around and get him to feel like $1 million so he can go out there and conquer the universe.
That's right.
I'm not really sure what that means, but I mean, it sounds good.
Well, I want him to be around to take care of me when I get up there at 100.
Well, who else is going to clean out the wren nest in your car when you leave your window open?
Nobody but me right now.
So he's 49, almost 50, right?
Yes.
Today is the day that we got to start. When's it going to be 50?
In December. What? December the 20th.
That's a ridiculous birthday. Why did you plan that?
I didn't. That was an accident.
See, mine's the 28th. That means I never get a birthday present because, you know, once Christmas hits, you're done, buddy.
That's for sure.
No, that's a real good date. I was only joking about that. I apologize.
Well, he's, you know, he's my blessing because, you know, he was an accident. He really was the accident.
Are you kidding? I am nothing but a total accident. Everybody, my mom and dad, they probably planned for everybody else, and I just kind of came along, and they're going, "Great, What are we going to do with him? He's a boy. We're only used to girls. You know what they told me? They said when I was 10 months old, they took me to a rodeo, and I ran out in the middle of the rodeo arena, and a bull charged me, and the clown just barely snatched me up before the bull trampled me.
Oh, dear.
I don't even remember thanking him.
Probably not.
I bet you anything I was in cloth diapers with those big, huge honking pins. What do you guess?
I bet you were, too.
How many diapers have you changed?
Oh, hundreds.
Hundreds of millions?
Just about.
Okay.
I helped raise my brother's two oldest kids, and then I had my own kids. So I had plenty of them.
You're
and
right.
That was back in the day when you had to wash them out in the toilets, you know,
yep.
And didn't have all these modern conveniences of take the diaper off.
See, that is why you're so strong today. Those biceps in your back, you put your back into it, bent over trying to rinse them out.
Oh, yes.
I don't think I have to explain to our radio audience what you're rinsing out, but anyway, we'll move right along.
Yes, please.
Oh, you're such a great mom. I can just tell in your voice that you love your son. And he can decide today that he wants to turn this around. If he looks at himself in the mirror and says to himself, what are you going to do different than what you've been doing? Because what you've been doing is not working. What can I do different? And then you're going to call him on the phone. You're going to say, carnivore. And he's going to say, Mom, nobody else loves me just like you. You are the best mom of all time.
Well, I hope I am. Because I love that child. You know, he's my only child left now. My oldest and my youngest are dead. And so, you know, my accident is the greatest blessing.
True.
And, you know, I want to see him healthy and happy and all that. I want him to have a good life. And right now he doesn't. Because he's, you know, he's way overweight. And, you know, back when my other son was taking the prednisone, they told me, you know, there was no reversing it once they got the big belly on them and all that, you know. And I'm just a firm believer for every disease that is out here or every problem, God took those 39 stripes to take care of us and to heal us. And
yeah,
so I know there had to be something that he could do.
I have a feeling it was a little bit more than 39.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't think they held back on Jesus at all, did they?
No, they didn't.
But isn't that what that says in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed?
That's exactly right. And so, you know, I'm just trusting God. You know, I'm just tired of seeing him in the shape he's in, and I want to see some change. I want to see some blessings on him now.
Me too.
So the carnivore diet will.
Well, and you know he I know what he needs. You almost made me cry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please don't cry.
You're supposed to keep talking.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that my God is able, and I'm just expecting the miracle. He's got to have one right now. And
what he's got to have is he's got to have somebody that's just going to gently nudge him in the right direction.
Well, that's what I want to do.
Well, it can all be done, and I realize I'm just giving you just a very small starting place. But everything that you're asking is doable. It's all doable. It can all be reversed. God has designed the body to heal. And it will if you create the right circumstances. I know, because I see it every day.
Yes.
I see it every day. If, you know, one thing that has never ceased to amaze me. So sometimes I think to myself that I don't just quite stand in awe the way that I should, because I see, like I saw a woman this week, and she told me, she said, I've had migraine headaches since I was like 8 and a half. Nobody ever believed me. I said, that's because I didn't have them. She said, you got that right.
Yeah.
And she's 26 now. And she said, Dr. Morgan, I wish I had done this 20 years ago. And I said, baby, you got today. And she she had two little girls with her. And one of the little girls like had a headband with a bow on it, and she wouldn't leave it on. And the little girl was just like 10 months old, and she had a wry grin. And I just thought that was the most comical thing I'd ever seen. But the mama says, my life has been turned around. I'm feeling better and better. I'm going to get my mama to come see you. And I told her, I said, I've never met your mama, but I've heard a lot of stories about your mama from her mama, who's Brenda. And so I've had 30 years to hear a whole lot of stories about a whole lot of people, including their kids. But this is a beautiful thing. Your son, he is all man. And we can turn this around, but he has got to understand he is in the fight for his life. And he's going to have to reclaim lost territory. And that means he's going to have to discipline himself to not put things in his body that are going to destroy him. And I had a man ask me 2 weeks ago, can I drink a six-pack of beer and eat a bag of pretzels and Doritos and take this vitamins and then we'll call it good? I said, no, that ain't going to be good. You can't take a pill and have it cover a bag of Doritos. And I told him the truth. I said, if you want to eat Doritos once a week, I'm not going to freak out over that. It's your choice, your call. But if you eat them every single day, you can say, good luck getting well. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
And so you got to create a situation to get rid of all that inflammation. So if we can get your son to start drinking more water.
Okay.
If he would try a carnivore diet for a short period of time. He can always take a half a teaspoon of Arm & Hammer baking soda each morning.
He's doing that. He's
good.
Doing that now.
See there? He's teachable.
Yes.
And we got to get him up and get him moving. I know it appears hopeless, but he's you know, I had a plan this morning when I woke up early. I said, Roy, you're going to go out and you're going to run this morning. And I said to myself, self, I don't want to, because it's wet outside. And then the good angel over my right shoulder said, Roy, I'm fixing to kick you in your backside so hard that you're going to wish you hadn't said that. And then the devil on the other side said, Roy, but it feels good in this warm bed, doesn't it? And the angel said, I'm beating the crap out of that evil angel right now, and you're going to do it. And so I got out there and I did it. And you know what? For a while there, I was running pretty fast because I had a pack of wild hyenas after me. I just barely got away from them. It was a close call. But there's nobody outside early in the morning.
That's for sure.
It's just you and the rain in your face.
And that doesn't hurt you at all.
I probably need a bath anyway. Next time I do that, I'm bringing a bar of lava soap. Who cares? I'm going to be the cleanest guy running around the loop in Tyler. I thoroughly enjoyed the phone call, but we need to nudge him in the right direction, and we need to get him on the straight and the narrow path, and we got to get him restored to his full God-given potential. He has got God's potential in him. If God loves him, then I love him.
Well, I am so grateful for this program and what you're doing for so many people, and I just really thank you for it.
Well, from the bottom of my heart, I love you and I appreciate you, and you're so kind to me. I don't think I really deserve all that, but by God's good hand of favor, your son will start to turn this around, and he will become a new man inside and out.
Well, that's what I'm praying for.
Well, that's his God-given destiny.
It is.
It is.
Doesn't
it say in Jeremiah he's got plans for good and not for bad?
That's right.
Okay, that's it. I love that last verse in Nehemiah. God's favor upon me. You got to read that. Yes. It's good.
Yes.
All right. Let me know what happens, all right?
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you a million.
Thank you a million. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, sometimes I write down notes in preparation on what I'm going to talk about. I don't think I've covered any of it today. But that's good, isn't it? That's probably very, very good. If you haven't heard of this program before, it's Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. The number here is 903-586-5257. Oh, thank you so much for your call. How can I help you?
Yes, I have two questions, Dr. Morgan. Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to know, my mother has a, she was bitten on her leg, and it's been years ago now, and her leg still hasn't healed. She's been to doctor after doctor, taking medicine. It'll get better, but then it now it swells up.
Well, and describe the area that's not healing to me.
It's the bottom of her leg.
What do you mean the bottom of her leg? It's on the lower leg, like below the calf?
The lower, yes, sir, near her ankle.
Well, is it like an open wound?
It has been open, and then she's put creams on it, taken medicine, and it will close up and get real dark and hard, and now, and sometimes it'll just kind of start reopening and hurting her.
That means one thing. She's got some poison there that needs to come out. I promise you she does. When I was a boy, I read a story about these two brothers that were famous for calling up predators. Mm-hmm. And one of them was sitting on a rock in the middle of the nut, and he starts doing this right here. You know, kind of pretending he's like a dying rabbit or a rabbit in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And this fox jumps from behind the boulder and bites him on the wrist, and it startles him. He like shakes it loose, but the problem is he gets this wound on his wrist and a sore. It never goes away. And one day, he says, "Goodness, I can't ever get well." So he takes open his pocket knife, and back in the day they had these small case pocket knives that had Uncle Henry or Charade, whatever the pocket knife, they had these little bitty small pen knife blades. And he digs in where that wound is, and out pops the teeny tiny tip of the canine tooth of the fox.
Oh, my gosh.
And guess what happened? After he removed it, it healed.
Wow.
And so here's my story. It's not near as good. I'm a little upset with the dog. And so I chase it barefoot across the yard, which I'll let you guess who runs faster, a rat terrier or Roy.
God.
Yeah, we already know the rat terrier. But I step on something, and I just assume I bruised my foot on a stone. And so I'm limping around every day for like about 2.5 weeks, like a dodo bird. And one day I said, you know what, it's sunny outside. I'm going to go outside and look with a magnifying glass. And lo and behold, there's this big honking thorn in my foot. Why didn't I think to check and see if there was something in there? And so it's red, it's swollen, and so I squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and finally, I just about said it ain't coming out, and evidently I just pushed just right, and this thorn just comes shooting out like a projectile. It's like one of those guns that has a cork in the end of it. You pull the trigger and pop, it comes shooting out. Well, guess what? All my pain went away.
Wow.
It'd be like the story of the mouse and the lion. He pulls a thorn out. But to make a long story short, your mama, she's got something in there that needs to come out. We got to draw that stuff out.
And so I know, that's why it's so frustrating, because she's been to many doctors.
Well, I said all that to explain how easy it is to overlook these things. Even I have done it.
Okay.
And so we need to put some clay on there to pull it out.
Okay.
And if you go to the store, it's called Indian Healing Clay.
Okay.
It'll set you back $5.81.
Mm.
Is that going to break the bank?
No.
You could rob a liquor store and get that. Wait. That was a bad plan. I retract that last statement. You could dig around your couch and find that many coins probably and go buy it. But what you do is you make this thick mud-like paste and you put over that. And do it 3 or 4 times a day and let it dry. Let it pull that stuff out. Pull it out. You know what they used to do?
Indian healing clay. Got it.
You know what they did 2,000 years ago for stuff like this?
Mm-hmm.
They'd put maggots on it. And they would let them clean it completely up so it could heal.
Does the Indian healing clay also help with acne?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can.
Okay, then.
Guess how many? All right, how many? This is my joke question. You already know what I'm going to say anyway. How many days are there in a week?
7.
How many layers of skin does your mother have where that wound is?
1.
7. That's my setup question. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to trick you. She's got 7 layers, and we got to pull it through all those layers. Let's start putting that on there. Now,
okay, got it.
The other thing that I want you to consider is we got to have oxygen, baby.
Mm-hmm.
They should have already sent her for hyperbaric oxygen treatments, but they haven't, have they?
I don't think so.
That drives me nuts. They should have already done that. She would have been healed. If I knew where the Garden of Eden was, I'd take her there because they say that the oxygen levels was about 36% oxygen. Unlike Jacksonville, which is probably 4.2% oxygen. No, I think it's more like 20. But we got to put clay on there every day. We got to start drawing out. You can rub castor oil. I would use Manuka honey in between the clay. Oh, totally. Oh, totally, totally, totally. Let's dry it. Let's get all the goop out of that area and suck it dry and let that sucker heal.
Thank you.
Actually,
okay.
Sucker's not really a correct medical term. I just sort of made that up. We want the wound to heal, right?
Exactly.
She needs zinc and thymus extract if she's going to heal. Thymus extract and zinc.
Okay,
I'm pounding my fist for emphasis. Is it working?
Hey, it's working for me to share this zinc and thymus extract.
Yes, zinc. Okay. Z-I-N-C.
Yes. Okay, and my second question, I mean, this is kind of odd because it's regarding fleas with my dog.
You got 1 minute.
Okay, so fleas, do you have a remedy, a home remedy, or some special treatment that I could use for fleas?
Yeah, what we're going to do is you're going to go get tea tree oil shampoo.
Okay.
And just like, are you really going to pour kerosene or diesel on the dog's back? I don't think so.
No, of course not.
I guarantee if I had fleas, my mama would coat me in kerosene. That's probably what's wrong with me today.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, if you will, don't walk by me with a cigarette lighter lit because I may combust right in front of you from the kerosene. But if you'll get the tea tree oil shampoo, you bathe that dog, and you take extra virgin olive oil, and you rub it into every square inch of his body, and then you're going to have to sprinkle that sucker down with diatomaceous earth.
What is it?
It's called diatomaceous earth. Sometimes it's called, spell it? D-I-A-T-A-C-E-O-S. I can't spell it. I'm sorry. It's called diatomaceous earth. And unfortunately, I just ran out of time about 20 seconds ago.
Well, thank you, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad you called me today. You made my day.
God bless you.
God bless you. God bless everyone listening. Bye-bye.